You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are the Brothers Layman, your co-host Chris
and Jonathan.
We in week two. Week two is down, so you know what that means. You know, it's time to overreact.
Yep, that means the sky is falling. That means your team ain't going to the playoffs. That means the likelihood of your team making the playoffs is 25%, because we all know if a team goes 0-3, only like three teams is ever back to make the play. It's ridiculous at this point. It kills me. It bugs me to death. I did shit today with Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. It was like back and forth. I'm like, good God almighty. Really? Like, it's game number two for both of these kids. Are you serious? We doing this right now?
Yep. Everybody wants to make a big deal out of every freaking game. I was like, what? If you're 2-0, 60% of the time you make the playoffs. And if you're 0-2, it gets real dicey and you may not. And okay. But hey, man, it's been an interesting 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, it has. It's been a great 2 weeks. I mean, you know, tonight's game was just like, wow. So there's a little bit more parity, it seems, this year. There's quite a few teams that are 0-2 that, you know, many people did not expect. Baltimore, you know, now you got the Colts who are 0-2. It's going to be an interesting season coming down to the wire.
No, it will be, man. Yeah, we got, you know, some shocking teams that are 0-2, some teams that you wouldn't surprise are 2-0, and we're going to get into all that all through week two, what to expect, you know, week three in college football, all a little everything. You all know how we do in the Sports Happy Hour.
All right, so let me just get this shit out the way. I got to renege, folks. I got to apologize to my counterpart. I was talking so much shit.
Yeah, you were.
On the episode, I was talking mad smack and fucking Tony Romo, who's now injured, screwed up my victory by marching down that damn field and scoring that last touchdown to Jason Witten. And to top it off, ladies and gentlemen, I have Dez Bryant, and what happened in that game, we all know. He got hurt, of course.
Yeah.
So we were recording during the show, so I didn't find that out until that last drive.
Yeah.
So you kind of might have known how I was feeling after the fact.
Yeah, your boy got that victory.
As you can imagine, Chris called me and started talking all kinds of shit.
Oh yeah, he was like, "What? Proclaiming shit early."
Oh my gosh! And I took another L tonight. Oh my God, I am 0-2 right now. But it's all good. I ain't even tripping. Once I get in the playoffs, it's all gravy. Once Dez come back, it's a wrap, son.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, like, for anything, even for fantasy football, it's all early. But got a scrambling to the waiver wire because it's a gang of injuries that we're gonna have to go through. It's nonstop.
It's just like the NBA season we just had. Injuries galore.
Yeah. NFL, you know how it goes. So y'all want to hit us up, you want to talk some sports with us, reach out to us, you can do that via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. And for any and all information about the Brothers Layman, you can go to blackisonline.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns you guys may have, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, let us know. We will definitely get back at you.
All right. So we got a couple emails we're going to get through before we jump into week two.
First all right.
This one's from the homie Kojak.
That's what's up. What happened to Kojak?
Who fumbles more? Respect my defense.
Holla at your boy. What did I say going into this season? I said our defense is going to be nasty.
Yeah.
Let it be known.
Chiefs can't beat us, cuz.
Oh, they can't.
The Broncos ain't playing, and the Seahawks looking not right. Mm. The pass rush is real for us and still have the best corners in the game.
Mm.
Now on to Sadford and the Eagles.
Ooh, get it. Call it out like it is, Kojak. What I'm talking about.
DeMarco had to cuss out his offensive line at least 20 times. Why can't y'all block? Cowboy fans are sulking in the toilet after losing all their Pro Bowl skill players. Honeymoon was great and still saw the games. Shout out to your man. Hope you enjoyed the honeymoon.
Shared it. Yeah, hope you enjoyed yourself, man. You and the wife.
Yeah, man. And, you know, it's hard even when you're on vacation and you're like, is it Sunday though? They got a TV. Let me peek a little bit. Let me see a little bit.
Exactly.
It's hard not to look. That's funny. Yeah, man. Jonathan was feeling the same way.
Man, I said going into this season, our defense was going. It was going to have to be based off running game, which ain't really showed up yet, and that defense, which has been lights out, and is only going to get better as the season goes on. Are you kidding me? I said Wade Phillips. I told you. We got Von Miller. I told you. DeMarcus, I told you. Von Miller getting 20 sacks. I done said it. It's happening. This defense is relentless. Our backfield is nasty. TJ Ward got a game under his belt, so he's ready to roll again. This Brandon Marshall, let me tell you something. The most underrated linebacker in football right now is Brandon Marshall, period. Maybe not in NFL circles, but in the nation, he is the most underrated linebacker in the league right now, period.
Yeah, man. Y'all feeling good, as you should. You know, we'll be getting into that, the way things ended for y'all, which was that was shocking in itself. But got one more email from the homie Baylor the Great.
Oh, Baylor, what's happening, bro? I know you feeling good, brother. I know you feeling good.
Mm-hmm. Top five would have been NBA NFL edition. This list consists of players that was either superstar status or right at the door. Their career came up short due to injuries, politics, or just being placed on a bad team. Number one, Penny Hardaway.
Absolutely.
Injury.
He would have been a star.
Yeah. Number two, Jason Williams. Injury. I'm thinking this is Duke Jason Williams.
Now, is this Jay Williams from the Bulls?
I believe so.
He was on the way.
Yeah.
He showed he could be a star.
Number three, Bo Jackson, the injury.
Yeah, that was, man, what? Had he stayed healthy, he might have gone down as the best running back in the NFL. Yeah,
he might have. Number four, Barry Sanders, politics and bad team. He should have had a damn ring.
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, that was fucking, the Detroit Lions wasted so many years of his career. Gotta feel for him, man. Yeah. But still one of the best running backs ever to play the game.
Of course. And number five, Michael Vick, politics.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I'd throw Grant Hill up in there. Grant Hill, pre-injury, was like the next triple-double machine.
Yeah. He was down there like, you know, Scottie Pippen.
Seriously. So, I mean, he would have gone down as one of the greats. But, you know, it happens, man. It's unfortunate and sad to see it does happen.
And I will say for Mike Vick, yeah, politics, but he had some. He needed to make some improvements on his end. If he was going to be, he had that superstar status, but to go down as one of them Hall of Fame players, he had to step his game up.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think he just, you know, maybe with politics and all, he just didn't have the time. But you know,
another one you could throw out. I mean, granted, he played a while. is Steve Young. Steve Young had to retire early, you know, due to concussions. He could have played a few more years and padded his stats even more.
Yeah.
Probably got him another chip or two. No.
Yeah, maybe so. So he's got, I think Penny would have easily, at the pace was he was going, ended up top 10 point guards of all time. All around skill set and didn't mind playing the second in command role. J Dub minus the hops and free throw percentage was Derrick Rose before Rose. Arguably the best point guard coming out of Duke and had the combination of shooting and penetrating to the bucket with ease. Yeah, we had a conversation about that. He hit me up when he heard my my list of Duke players on Hoopla. Shout out to Spirit on that.
Was that a bro?
His Storm. And he was like, "What? You ain't got Jay Will on the team?" I was like, "Oh, bro, my list was NBA. I put my list of if I was gonna make a Duke team, and I base this off of their NBA success. If I'm building an NBA team based off of Duke players, I think I had Kyrie Irving, Grant Hill at two. I had Luol Deng at three. I had Jabari Parker at four, and I had Elton Brand at the five, and Corey Maggette as a six man." He was like, "You ain't got Jay Will." I'm like, "Jay Will, did he play in the NBA?"
He played about, I think it was after his, it was his second year in the league, I believe, when he got in the motorcycle accident.
Yeah, it was, I felt bad as hell for that dude.
Which I felt bad for him. As a freaking Bulls fan, I was just like, "Are you serious?
Number put two us pick. Back
in, man. Like, come on." But, you know, that, as the good Lord says, everything happens for a reason. So, you know, he's doing his thing on the commentary side. So it is what it is.
He says, "Bo knows everything. With the power and speed he possessed in the league, Emmitt Smith will probably be third all time on the R&B list."
I'm telling you. Yeah. It helps that he's a Raider too, doesn't it?
Speaking of the running back list of all time, if I have Bo in my top three, two to be exact, that means I have Barry Sanders in the number one slot. We know the story. No line. Well, they did have a few Pro Bowlers, but we've seen better. If Barry would have continued to play, whether it was in Detroit or Miami, he would have shattered that record. And finally, Mike Porno Flick Vic, called hood name we gave him. This was a dual QB that came from the ancestor scramble bloodline of Randall Cunningham. Losing to Philly in 2005, in which I thought if he could have gotten past them, they would have given the Pats problems. Going to jail really set him back, and he was never the same. Just a few players that I felt would have left a huge dent in the game. History written different.
Yeah, you could throw Gale Sayers' name in there, too.
Yeah, you can do that, too, man. Oh, P.S., I think Duncan gets another ring this year. Yeah, buddy!
Yeah, we'll see about
I'm
that.
I'm in agreement with you on that.
I'm thinking Derrick Rose get his first. Yes.
Duncan about to pass Kobe, Ty Jordan, and then we're going to be like, "What? Tim Duncan better than Kobe Bryant. He got six rings. Kobe only got five." I mean, if we going by that little basic logic niggas be doing.
How you feel about that, Laker fans?
Because we
Tim
know
Duncan better than Kobe.
And we know how they hear it. What? LeBron James been to the final four times, only won twice. Kobe got five rings. Get off it. Damn. Them same Kobe fans, if he got ring number six, he tied Jordan. He better than Jordan now.
No, he ain't. Let's squash that. I'm sorry.
That's funny. But, yeah, man, appreciate that, Baylor. Yeah,
thanks, man. Appreciate that. No, definitely.
That was a good thing. Yeah, I like the list, man. Yeah, Penny, man. I felt bad for Penny Hardaway.
When he had hurt. The shoes, too. What? He had the total package, man. Oh, my God.
I remember when he got traded. What was that? When he got traded to Phoenix, and it was all like that Jason Kidd, Penny Hardaway backcourt.
Yep.
They have fools slobbering. Like, this is about to be one of the greatest backcourts ever. And then it's just injuries just kept hitting.
Yeah. Had a chance to meet him a couple of times. He's a cool cat, but yeah, it sucks, man.
Yeah, no doubt. So appreciate that. Y'all know how to reach out to us if y'all want to chime in. You know, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Twitter @brotherslayman on the hotline 323-455-4219.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know anything that y'all want to hit us up about. It don't matter, fantasy or whatever. Let us know. Holla.
Yeah, buddy. All right, let's jump into this. Week 2 in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
You know, things have gotten interesting. I'm going to start with looking back. Let's start at the game that was, you know, one of the most hyped games this week with New England at Buffalo.
Hey.
You know, a lot of hype. What was going to happen? What they going to do? And Tom Brady was like, I'm about to just whoop on that ass.
I mean, it wasn't even close. I mean, Tom Brady. And the crazy thing is, you know what blows my mind sometimes? It's just like, you know, he's throwing it to Edelman. You know he's throwing it to Gronk. Why are they always open? They are always open. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, always open. And you know he's throwing it to them. And you know he's throwing it to them. I don't know, man. It's crazy, but their offense and the way Bill Belichick schemes, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean,
he threw for over 450 yards.
38 of 59, 466, and 3 touchdowns. And you're like, you had him throw 59 times? Like, you don't ask your quarterback to do that, but Bill Belichick, he
was making a statement.
Well, I think he was just like, well, I know I probably can't run on y'all, so how about just pass it?
Well, I know he said you had Rex Ryan this week make that King Kong reference when it came to Gronk. Mm-hmm. You got to put King Kong on him to stop him and blah, 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 blah. And Bill Belichick was like, okay, yeah. Where's King Kong? Let me find him.
Right.
Just was lighting him up. And it was embarrassing. This is the surprising thing. What really surprised me, LeGarrette Blount didn't really get any totes.
Nah, it didn't run much. Only 15 carries for 56 yards. Didn't really do much, but I'm pretty knowing Belichick, he probably already knew it was going to be tough.
Yep.
So I was like, let's give it to Gronk. Continues to deliver 7 receptions for 113 and a touchdown. Julian Edelman, he hitting 100. Easy. Yeah, 11 easy. Receptions, 97 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
I think he has he either has 22 or 23 catches through 2 games. It's stupid.
That just shows you, man. I mean, Julian Edelman, you're like, who is this dude? Goes to New England and becomes a damn stud.
7th round pick, former quarterback. What?
He just knows how to get the best out of his team. That's what makes Belichick special. He's like, I will take a guy and get greatness out of him.
Yep.
He's like, damn. How does he keep? And he keeps doing it.
Yeah. Real,
you know, as far as Buffalo, you know, they showed, you know, I mean, they were still in it.
I mean, they played freaking New England. It wasn't like they played a weakling, you know what I'm saying? This is the defending champ, so it was gonna be a tough game. Crowd was into it and everything, but they fell a little bit short. I mean, that's a big game for Tyrod Taylor. And technically, it's only his second start in the NFL, so. That's a big game, man.
Yeah,
I mean, he played pretty well for the most part. It was tough when they made it hard for him.
Yeah, I mean, he had 3 interceptions, sacked 8 times.
Ooh, Lord.
You can't do much with that.
Yeah.
Shady McCoy had 15 for 89. Just okay. Not decent. Yeah,
not bad.
You know, Sammy Watkins came back, 6 receptions for 60 and a touchdown. I saw Robert Woods had a nice catch. You know, just really not enough.
Yeah. I mean, going into the game, you thought Buffalo would give him a hell of a run, but you just kind of knew New England. New England is just on a mission. Everybody's been saying it when that whole Spygate shit happened, they came out the next season, won 16 straight.
Yep.
Went 16-0, and it was like, are they doing that again? Taking it out on the league.
Yeah, they're going to keep it up, man. They're going to continue to dominate. And, yeah, they on a roll. They're trying to get ring number 5 and to really solidify themselves. So, I mean, they on this move, and they look like the best team in the league.
Yeah,
they're playing like it, you know, and now that, you know, I guess New England probably has a little, you know, something against the league. It's just even more motivation.
Yep.
All right. On to the next big game. Seattle at Green Bay.
Yeah, it was a an interesting game.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, pissed me off fantasy wise. Eddie Lacy got hurt. We're like, thank you. Just another injury on my list. But overall, I mean, it was Aaron Rodgers, man. I mean, I got to say, watching him play quarterback is awesome, because just the way he maneuvers his way in the pocket and feels out pressure and evades pressure, it's really incredible to watch. So, I mean, you know, all fans out there, just soak it in, because you are watching just elite quarterback play at its best. I mean, it don't get no better than that. Some of the plays he was making, some of the passes, it was just incredible, really. And all around, just a good effort by Green Bay, considering the number of injuries that they had. I mean, shout out to James Starks, who came in and carried the load with Eddie Lacy down. James Jones made another freaking appearance. I don't know what's going on, but he loves it in Green Bay. I mean, they just playing as a team, man. They playing as a team, and that you can see it. Everybody's doing their part. Everybody's pulling their weight. You know, they don't have Jordy Nelson, but you can see that, you know, on all other aspects of their team, you know, everybody's lifted up a little bit, it seems.
No, it does. It seems like they're just playing at another level. Aaron Rodgers, 25 or 33, 249, two touchdowns. Dude continues just to make plays. Like you said, James Starks, 20 for 95. Just his number got called. He was ready.
Yep.
And Randall Cobb. It's
a true pro right there.
Yeah, man. He knows what's up. I mean, he enjoys it in Green Bay. He always comes ready to play.
Yep.
Yeah, Randall Cobb stood out with 8 receptions for 116. On 11 targets, just getting it done.
Sir.
Who wasn't getting it done, though, man. Seattle was not looking real in sync. I mean, we got to start where this team is built. The rushing beast mode, 15 carries, 41 yards, 2.7 average. That ain't going to work. Guys have played to stop him, man. He's been struggling with it. I mean, that whole game, they just could not get in sync whatsoever.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
It's just, I don't know what it is. They seem like they missing a little fire. You know, Russell Wilson, 19 to 30, 206, two touchdowns, an interception. Also ran for 78 yards. You know, helped the brother out fantasy-wise, but they're not looking like that dominant squad that they normally are. And folks been asking, man, where's Jimmy Graham? Two targets, one reception, 11 yards.
And I mean, part of that is a lot of that's on that offensive coordinator and Pete Carroll. They got to find ways to get him involved in the offense and get him the ball. I mean, give kudos to Green Bay's defense, though, as well. I mean, mm-hmm. They did a good job not letting him do anything, really, and, you know, forcing him to basically just be a bystander. He didn't really get anything done.
Yeah, things have changed. I mean, one, Jimmy Graham is not a regular just blocking tight end. That's not his thing. I mean, he's trying while he's there, but, you know, that doesn't help if your tight end's not a blocker like that. You know, and I got to admit, we talked about this when they made the trade for Jimmy Graham. It's like, you're giving up a Pro Bowl center.
Yep.
And, you know, if your line is kind of, you know, that's where they are now. They're not really clicking. It can be a problem.
Yeah. Their O-line's iffy to begin with, and then you lose your Pro Bowl center. I mean, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to get it together, though, at 0-2. I know that.
Yeah, yeah. They got to, man. You're just like, Seattle's 0-2? Word? Okay. And, you know, this happened over the week after we did our show. This whole thing with Marshawn Lynch's mom, you know, calling out the offensive coordinator,
saying, you know, he need
to go. You know, on that 4th-and-1 call, and kind of like the reason they gave it to him is to make up for the call on the Super Bowl, and, you know, he would start stirring the pot.
Yep. I mean, look, as you can understand his mother's frustration as number one, as a mom, mm-hmm. And number two, as a fan. I mean, you can understand her frustration. She's basically feeling the same way a lot of Seattle Seahawks fans feel. I'm mm-hmm. sure she's the only one who want their offensive coordinator let go. I mean, there's plenty of Seattle Seahawks fans, I'm sure, that want a new one. But, you know, right now you just got to stick with what you got. And you just got to find a way to support the team. It's unfortunate that, you know, she blasted him out like that. I would urge, you know, his mom to kind of, you know, take a step back. Understand that, you know, yes, your son is a famous athlete and he's a star on the Seattle Seahawks, but it doesn't necessarily give you the right to just be like, well, you know, my son is this, you know, elite guy, so I can do whatever I want. It doesn't work that way. You know, you still got to help, you know, you being the mom and being the parent, you still got to help. You still got to show respect where respect is due. You know, to peers and you know, to his employer. You know, it's not like he works for them. You know, that would be if our mom went up to my job and just started berating my damn manager. I mean, it's like you can't do that.
Yeah, it's difficult. And I saw her little when she came back and kind of said, you know what, I was speaking as a fan, not as a mom. She didn't apologize. She was just like, look, I'm not trying to go on there like that. I got a problem with the way things is being worked out. You know, it could be something. I mean, I've heard it said before, like, look, this is, you know, they've been to the Super Bowl twice back to back. They won a Super Bowl. And this is around the time when guys are just ready to get their money.
Yeah. And then that leads us into Cam Chancellor, who's trying to get his money.
Yeah. And which seems it's going to be a topic after every damn game. And especially if it's a loss.
And the thing is, nobody's really talked about this much, but I know Cam Chancellor means a lot to that defense, and he is the leader of that defense, and you know he puts the boom in Legion of Boom and all that. But I mean, you look at some of the other pieces they did lose. You know, they lost Byron Maxwell. Granny, we'll get to him later, but he ain't looking like a top flight number one cornerback. But as a compliment to Richard Sherman, he was pretty damn good. I mean, yeah. Clearly it got him a nice size contract, so clearly he was doing something well. So clearly they're missing him. You lost your defensive coordinator. I mean, let's really put into account how much that means to them. I mean, this is a guy who, to me, he just let these dudes play. It almost didn't even seem like he was scheming half the time. He was just like, go out there and just play football. And there was some kind of energy and just respect. That and just a connection that they had with him. And granted, you know, the gentleman, I believe his name is Chris Richards, who's taken over as defensive coordinator, came from, you know, underneath them. It's not the same. It's not the same guy. It's not the same, you know, person who's running the ship. So there's a different feel to it. There's a different aura to it. So I know Cam Chancellor is a big piece of it. But another big piece is they lost pieces. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have to put that into account as well. They're still adjusting as a defense to a brand new defensive coordinator. Granted, it may be a similar scheme. He may be throwing tweaks in here or there to make it his own. We don't know. But, again, it could be part of the issue. But, you know, the way this defense is built, I'm sure they'll get it together at some point, but right now it just seems like there's too many distractions. They're not focused.
Yeah, that's what it does seem like. It's like they're all not just on the same page right now. Like you said, it's early. If I'm, you know, Seahawks fan, I'm not panicking.
No.
You know, I just want them to right the ship quickly.
Exactly.
All right, let's get into this Monday night game.
Man,
them Jets, man. Hey, Jet fans, gotta be happy right now. That defense is killer.
Well, we said, I mean, we said, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's not terrible.
No,
he's a serviceable quarterback. And then you throw in the fact that his former coach in Buffalo, Chan Gailey, is the offensive coordinator. There's a very good comfort zone there and a very good working relationship between the two of them, and clearly it's working. I mean, I hate to say it, but Geno Smith getting hurt might have been the best thing that happened for the Jets. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to even, I didn't mean for it to sound that way, but I mean, it's the truth.
Well, you don't, you know, have
had Geno Smith started, would they be off to the start? We don't know.
Yeah, and then even if, you know, if he didn't, you know, get the chance to start, it's always that talk in the back. So you don't have that distraction. You're just getting down to business. Ryan Fitzpatrick was 22 of 34, 244, two touchdowns, one interception, only sack once. His receivers, though, hey, if you had them tonight, Brandon Marshall, 7 for 101 in a touchdown. Eric Decker, 8 for 97 in a touchdown. Of course, I saw him, you know, he got hurt late.
Oh, Decker?
Yeah. Jesus.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, but, I mean, to that whole thing of this tonight's game was strictly all about that defense and shutting Andrew Luck down.
I mean, he couldn't do anything.
He was pressing all night.
Yeah.
21 to 37, 250 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. You know, surprised he didn't get sacked at all with as much time as they popped him.
He was getting hit. He was getting pressured all night long. And, I mean, guys weren't getting open. They locked him. They locked that team down defensively. It was very, very impressive game by the Jets defense. Very impressive.
Very much, man. It kind of makes you wonder how this team is going to be. You know, these Colts struggled now two straight games. Frank Gore, 15 for 57, but had a very costly turnover. Fumble at the one, almost was about to cuss him out like nigga.
Yeah.
Even though I had to just be in another league, I was just like, oh, you fumbled. That's great. Thanks. But that was bad. Yeah, Andrew Luck had a fumble, which was shocking because he looked like he was just going down all of a sudden. Oh, that's out.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was a quiet night. Dante Moncrief stepped up, 7 for 122 in a touchdown. I missed out on grabbing him. T.Y. Hilton actually played, 4 for 45. Andre Johnson, another quiet, 3 for 27.
You know the rumbling's going to start, oh. Is Andre Johnson done? Is Andrew Luck really that good? And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because they started looking back. Andrew Luck has had a lot of turnovers. He hasn't looked that great so far this season.
Here we go.
Yeah, he's got to carry the load a lot.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, pressure is on him. All right, so getting to your squad on Thursday night.
Yes, sir.
You know, Peyton was struggling early. The defense looked like it was gonna shut y'all out, and then Peyton started getting real accurate, started moving the rock. But I know for you, it was all about that defense.
I mean, it's all about the defense. I know Peyton didn't look all that great throughout the game, but again, second game, they're trying to install a little bit of a new offense. And I mean, shoot, you saw once he got back in that shotgun, he was letting it rip again.
Yeah, I did, man. Yeah, the rushing is still only 61 total yards rushing for the teams. And it was just about that pass. You know, Demaryius Thomas, 8 for 116. Emmanuel Sanders, 8 for 87 and two touchdowns.
Yes, sir.
But, man, two touchdowns in 9 seconds.
Yep.
And I got Jamal Charles. And they were like, that dude rarely fumbles, but. Wow. It was like, what, 30 seconds to go?
Something like that.
Well, their tie game. What should they do? Because I ain't going to front. If they just took a knee at that point, I think a lot of fans would have been pissed off. Like, dude, at least try to throw it down. Get a, you know, see if maybe you can get in field goal range. But it was like a fake pass, and then they ran it. And then he fumbles, and not only does he fumbles in a way where a guy just picks it up and runs it back in for a touchdown. That was like a worst-case scenario. Okay, I'm not going to pass. We'll just run the ball. Even though I was like, what kind of fucking play is this? And then he fumbles, and then the guy picks it up, runs it back, scores a touchdown, game over. Everybody in that stadium is like, what in the fuck just happened?
Mm-hmm. And I'm going crazy. I'm going bonkers at home. just like, what? I was just expecting to go to overtime. All right, let's see what we can do in OT. And then that defense came up big. Brandon Marshall with the fumble. And then Bradley Roby picks it up, runs it back in. I mean, what? And then let's not even mention Aqib Talib, who had the pick six in the game. I mean, the defense is lights out, brother.
Yeah, the defense is playing well. And I know people have getting a lot of flack on Peyton and all that and the offense. But I'm like, look, you just beat, you know, Ravens, who have a really above average defense. You just beat the Chiefs, who have an above average defense.
And now we're going to Detroit, who has an above average defense.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of that issue is our O-line. Our O-line is not blocking well right now. They got to get it together.
Yeah, at least you lost about it. Yes, yeah, it's some concerns, but you got to be happy with the 2-0 lead.
Exactly. I will take it any way I can get it.
Yeah, I mean, Jamal Charles was all right. You know, 21 for 125 in the touchdown. Also had nothing for reception. Mm. But, you know, Alex Smith, 16 to 25, 191, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, four sacks. You just like, dude, can you throw a touchdown? Do something. But, you know, Kansas City, that was a bad loss.
Yeah, they needed that victory.
Yeah, I mean, they were playing so well. You look like you had it. You know, usually if you're gonna split, you at least want to win your home game against a team that, you know, you're going to have to face in order to win a division. And to exactly. lose like that, they can still come back, but that's one of them that's going to sting. And it's if deflating. You know, if you're out, if you miss the playoffs by like a game or two, you know, that game is going to haunt. All right, moving on to another big game, Dallas at Philly. Dallas been pulling them out, man. And Philly, this whole thing, I mean, of course the injury bugs for Dallas is a problem. But, man, for Philly right now, where the hell is your running game at?
Yeah, that's the number one question that all Philly fans got. DeMarco Murray had, like, negative yards. Basically the whole game. It was really an embarrassing performance by the whole Philadelphia team. They looked terrible. They looked really, really bad. And the way they're going, it doesn't look like they're going to get any better.
No, I mean, yeah, DeMarco Murray had 13 carries for 2 yards. In total, the team had 17 carries for a whopping 7 yards.
That's fucking
7 yards rushing.
What did they say? There was a list, I believe. They said there were 20 quarterbacks who ran for more yards than the Eagles did as a team.
That's embarrassing.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, just did absolutely nothing, man. I mean, for them, I mean, that's the question.
I was following Twitter throughout that game, and I mean, Philly fans was pissed.
Yeah, for them, oh, man. Because I think they got their own injuries to deal with.
Yeah, now it looks like Kiko Alonso might be out for the whole season. So you're like, thanks. So we just traded LeSean McCoy for somebody who out again for the whole season. Thank you.
Yeah, wasn't he hurt last year or 2 years ago?
He was hurt. He was coming off for torn ACL last year. And it looks like he hurt the same knee.
Oh, yeah, so he possibly... And I was like, oh, fuck. And then Sam Bradford not looking good. Everybody's like, you should have took that extension.
Yep, after that freaking he wanted to stop after our preseason game. Get that nonsense out of here.
Yeah,
I play good in the preseason. So what?
So what? You come in this 23 of 37, 224, touchdown, two interceptions. Just, you know, not looking accurate, struggling. Another guy they traded for.
I tweeted about it yesterday. Part of it was you shouldn't have got rid of Evan Mathis. I mean, thank you. I'm glad he's on the Broncos now, but Chip Kelly, you should have kept him on that team. I mean, this is part of the things that we're talking about. You're getting rid of all your playmakers. Your team looks slow. I mean, guys aren't running the ball. There's no power. There's no toughness to the team. I don't know what's going on with this team. And then Byron Maxwell. He's looked god awful the first two games. And I mean, for somebody to get $60 million, I mean, clearly he was a byproduct of Seattle.
Yeah, he looked clearly. Like it because he gets clearly. Burned.
I mean, because Terrence Williams burned him on that touchdown. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, yeah, Philly's going to need some help. They down 0-2, struggling. You know, as for Dallas, the good news is they've gone 2-0, you know, versus a division. But let's get into the bad news. Let's just kick where Pete at.
Yep.
Come on. Because it started last week, and we said during the game where I won, but that week one, got the sad news, Dez Bryant was out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken foot.
Yep.
You're like, oh, ain't this a bitch? So what comes after that?
Yeah, some dudes are like, well, it's the same kind of injury that Julio Jones had when he had to sit out the year. I'm like, no, don't say that.
No. Julio Jones got hurt and didn't. That was it.
Yep.
And then, man, who's Cowboy, Tony Romo, out of 8 to 10 weeks with a broken collarbone. Says he does not need surgery, but that's still bad.
And he knew it was broke after he got hit. Yeah. So they were taking him into the locker room. He basically said it's broken. He knew. I think it's the same one he broke a few years back.
I believe so. I think but, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge downgrade for the team. I mean, you know, people can say what you want, but you're going from Tony Romo, who some people consider a top 10 quarterback.
Yes.
And going all the way down to Brandon Weeden now, who is a first round bust. So, I mean, you're downgrading. I mean, you have no Dez Bryant. They're going to have to rely heavily on a running back by committee and Jason Witten.
Yep.
Gotta have and Terrence that defense. Williams
step up. Yeah, that defense is going to have to step up. Sean Lee, all of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they stepped up yesterday. Got to give it to them.
Yeah, they did, man. That's what I'm saying. You know, you've got the division wins in your pocket right now. That's major. But, man, yeah, I got Tony Romo, too. Like, oh.
Yeah, I thought about you when he got hurt. I was like, oh, I know Chris is probably like, motherfucker.
He's like, Tony Romo out. Like, what the fuck? Great. Like, you know, here we go.
That's karma for beating me week one.
I guess
so. I'm playing. I don't wish. I never wish injury on anybody.
No. Nah. Man, but yeah, those are like those are some of them highlight games.
Hey, Baylor, shout out to your Raiders, bro. Shout out to your Raiders, bro.
Them dudes was not expecting to win versus the Baltimore Ravens.
I mean, gave me -1 points for Baltimore's defense. I said, what? Baltimore's defense is done, man. I was telling Cass today, I was telling Cass when it happened. I'm like, their defense ain't going to be the same without Terrell Suggs. And it surely looked completely different. There was no fight to it. There was no energy to that defense, man. They looked lifeless.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And Derek Carr picked him apart, man. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, that's going to be a nice connection for the next few years.
Derek Carr, 30 of 46, 351 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Only sacked once.
Mm.
Yeah, he had dudes up. I mean, Mark Cooper, 7 for 109 and a touchdown. Michael Crabtree, holla at you. 9 receptions, 111 and a touchdown.
Mm.
They're getting it done.
They were getting it done, man. I got to give them credit. I mean, for Baltimore, they just look terrible, man. 0-2 now. They're going to have to get it together. I mean, because their damn division's hard enough. Now they're starting off 0-2. They don't need that.
No, they don't, man. I think this is the first time they've gone 0-2 under John Harbaugh. I know he ain't comfortable with it.
Nope.
But, yeah, let's see. What else good games they had on there? Hey, man, since we've been talking about some squads, yo, the Arizona Cardinals looking for real. Like, don't forget.
I can't even.
Like, front what, 11 games last season? I mean, they back to handling business.
I mean, whooped on the Chicago Bears. Whooped on the Chicago Bears. And Larry Fitzgerald looks like young Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald. on 9 targets, 8 receptions, 112 yards, 3 touchdowns. You were like, you probably got his ass late as hell.
Nice pickup. Nice value get. I mean, and Carson Palmer, dude, is looking good.
17 to 24, 185, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Take that.
And who, I don't know who this David Johnson kid is. I know he came out, I believe he came out of Northern Iowa, but small school kid. He scores like every time he touched the ball.
Yep. Ran it back for, I guess a franchise record, 108 yards return for a touchdown.
Like, ridiculous. And he's a big guy. He's like 6'1", 230. He ain't no small dude.
No, he's a fucking third string back. Well, he's a backup right now with Ellington out, you know, just to keep throwing out injuries because we know from last week, out 2 to 3 weeks with a grade 1 PCL sprain. He's like, oh, keep him coming.
Of course you are.
But of course the Bears, you know, sad news for them as we keep this injury train going.
Yep.
Got Cutler out 2 weeks with a hamstring injury, at least.
Now, the weird thing about that injury, and a lot of people have brought it to light, is that he got injured trying to stiff arm, I guess, tackle somebody, and he hurt his hamstring. It was odd, but it's Jake Cutler, so everything's odd in that situation.
Yeah. Everybody's not a Jay Cutler fan, and
nope.
It's crazy with that dude. Now
you got Jimmy Clausen starting. So good luck, Chicago Bears.
Yeah, really. You gonna need help with that because
I got Matt Forte. Just give him the ball.
Yeah, just before. What did he do in this game? I mean, that Arizona defense. Shouldn't what he have?
They locked him down.
Yeah, 15 carries for 61, 4 receptions, 44. So he helped you out fantasy-wise, but he was shut down.
Yeah, for the most part.
He let them niggas do nothing.
Nope.
So, yeah, man, Arizona looking real, man. I mean, I want to say they were 2-0 last season.
I believe they were.
And just rolling well without rolling well until Carson Palmer got hit. I know we got some other good ones. Let's see. Oh, we need to talk about these dudes. Talking about these Giants, man. I know they lost to Atlanta.
Atlanta's 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn, shout out.
Yeah,
I told you he was going to bring that toughness to that team, man.
No, he has. And right now, we just looking like Julio Jones is that dude.
Yes.
13 catches, 135 yards. Man, come on. Come on.
Hey, and I got to apologize to Odell Beckham. He is just, he's ridiculous.
7 for 146 and a touchdown.
Jesus Christ, man. What? That boy is nasty. But, I mean, overall, the Giants, they have no run game. They have no defense. Their offensive line is shaky. It's going to be a long season for the Giants.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be. They got problems. They sitting there, you know, Victor Cruz still out. You know, not getting, not even a cracked 100 yards rushing, which is not good for the Giants. They need to get that popping.
Yep.
Yeah, Andre Williams, 6 for 43. Rashad Jennings, who is the starter, 9 rushes for 12. Yards, yeah. Good luck with
nothing.
That. I mean, they've got that Atlanta defense playing.
Yep.
Because Atlanta was not known for defense at all. It's about to be a high scoring game because they can't stop nobody. But, you know, 2-0.
Yep. They feeling good.
Yeah, they got it popping. Speaking of that, since this is 2 games in a row that they've actually had a lead in the fourth quarter and blown it, what you think of this from week one, this whole questionable play calls and Rashad Jennings coming out and actually kind of throwing his QB under the bus?
Well, ain't no kind of throwing his QB. He did throw his QB under the bus. And basically told him.
They don't want us to score. I was told not to score.
Like, you just don't come out and say that. You do not come out and say, I was told not to score. Yeah. I mean, it's just, what?
Yeah, that's not what I do, but that's, you know, I'm following orders. And you are like, now if he's saying what Eli Manning told you, I was like, on one hand, yes, it is throwing your QB under the bus. But to me, I was like, I'm pretty sure Eli would not be the one who was like, you know what? I don't want you to score. I'm pretty sure he's passing it down from Tom Coughlin. Which was just
Tom
weird.
Tom Coughlin said he didn't make the call.
He did?
He did not.
Oh, he did not make that call.
And then he said apparently he's pointing the finger at Eli. And Eli took blame for it.
Yeah,
but I mean, I guess his thinking was he wanted him to kind of just get down to make the clock run out. But I guess he wasn't aware that Dallas had another timeout.
It just, to me, I'm like, dude, you're basically at the goal line. If he scores, you're up two scores with like under 2 minutes.
That's what I said. That's my mindset of it. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense because if he scores, there's really no chance of them coming back.
Yeah, and it just didn't work because if you're like, well, I wanted to, well, then this would be for Eli. Then it would come back like, all right, so if you didn't want him to score, you wanted to run the clock out, okay. You know, it's close enough, but I get that. Then why the hell would you throw it on third down?
Exactly. That's the number one question. Fuck all the why he didn't score. Why the hell were you throwing the ball on third down?
Yeah, third down. Everybody's like, they're not running the ball? Okay. Let Eli pass. And it was nobody open. Just fall. Take the sack. Get your field goal. And that's it.
Yep.
But nope. And let the clock keep going. Nope. I'm going to stop the clock for him. And let Tony Romo have enough time to come back and win the game.
And he did. I don't know, man. The Giants, this is the last year of Tom Coughlin. If they have another doo-doo season, which it looks like they're about to do, he will be gone. he can't do it anymore. I mean, he had the two Super Bowl victories, but at this point, his voice is done.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you on it. I think that it ain't. You had him a while. He's been there a while. Yeah. I do agree with you. I think the voice is just wearing thin.
Yep.
And it's just time for a change.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're listening to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers.
Yeah, he chose that. I didn't make him do that, y'all.
All right, looking at some of the other scores from week two.
How about Cincinnati? Go ahead, give him some love.
Beating up on San Diego.
Thank you very much. Appreciated that.
24-19. Hey, man, Giovanni Bernard, holla at you. So I got you on my bench. That's why I drafted you.
Jeremy Hill got a case of the fumbles, boy.
Yeah,
he needs to get that in order.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell going on with that lineup. It was Giovanni Bernard had it and then somehow lost it to Jeremy Hill over the year. And then now it's like, well, I guess he want to give it back.
Well, Jeremy Hill is the better three down back. I mean, just because he's a bigger guy, he can carry the load a little bit more than Giovanni Bernard. But as Giovanni Bernard showed yesterday, he still got skills nonetheless.
Yeah, he does. Cincinnati, they keep doing the damn thing. Got that talent.
Mm-hmm. And their defense is still pretty good.
Yeah, they have a solid all-around team. You know, nobody's just going to believe until
Andy Dalton do something.
Yeah, until he win. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Never.
Hey, man, got that W in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel actually looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good. He had some flashes. He threw a couple bombs to Travis Benjamin, who had a big day.
Yep.
I think he accounted for like all their touchdowns. But I mean, nonetheless, got to give kudos to Johnny Football. He made some big plays, made the plays when needed, didn't put his team in a hole. you know, did what he was supposed to do. I mean, I know everybody's going to go crazy just because it's Johnny Football, but, you know, when you put things in his proper perspective, he had an okay game.
Mm-hmm.
You take away those two bombs, his game really doesn't look all that great. So, I mean, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. It was really his first, I think it was, no, it was not his first start, but his first start this season.
Mm-hmm.
With the way he played, I think he deserves a chance to start the next game. You know, even if Josh McCown does come back, I just think that that's just fair. He has earned that. But at the same time, he was going up against a rookie quarterback in Marcus Mariota. So we have to put that into account as well. So, again, he had an okay game. Wasn't great. But, again, he got the W. So that's what counts.
Yeah, that is what matters. And, you know, he's played a little well. You know, he's made some nice plays, extending the play. That first bomb to Travis Benjamin was nice because he just saw it, read it, stepped up, made the cannon pass right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good for him. I'm with you. I think they'll keep him in. It's a little tough, but Josh McCown,
I just think he's earned it.
Yeah.
He earned it with his play. I mean, Josh McCown wasn't looking all that great in the first couple games. And, I mean, Johnny Football stepped in, made some plays, made some things happen. They got some big plays in the last game. He's earned a shot.
Yeah, yeah. I do think so. But, you know, I don't – you know, they could be like, hey, Josh McCown was my dude. He had a concussion. I still believe in him. We'll see what happens during the week. But, you know, I don't – you know, I don't hate to be in that position. I mean, he's, like you said, he's – the last game and a half, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I think they said they play the Jets. Or they play somebody tough, I think, next week. So you're just like, yeah, let's not change everything up right away.
Well, I mean, at some point you're going to have to put Johnny into the fire and just let him go against a good defense and see what he can do.
Yeah, you know what Josh McCown is. You've seen him. We've seen it. We got tape. We know he's a solid backup, probably nothing more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Manziel, we don't know. I mean, you and I said it. Like, his rookie year, he just needed to sit. He was not ready.
Nope.
But it looks like he's come prepared. None of that, you know, getting put in, I wasn't ready. Crap, he seems real focused. And, you know, year two seems to be working out better for him, at least so far.
Exactly. So... And then on the other end, you got Marcus Mariota, who now has just been getting shitted on because he looked bad. And it's just like, oh, he's going to be terrible. I told you Jameis better. And it's like, oh, my God, here we go. I'm like, it's his second game going up against a tough Cleveland defense who was pressuring him all day long. I mean, he had no time to throw the ball. So, I mean, again, he's a rookie. He's going to have growing pains. He's still learning. So, you know, for his second game on the road, It was tough.
Yeah, I mean, sacked seven times. They're like, welcome to the NFL, baby.
Exactly. So, I mean, all defenders lick their chops when they see a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let me at him, please.
Yeah, speaking of rookie quarterbacks, Jameis Winston got his W over New Orleans.
He got his W, looked pretty good in the game. I don't know what's wrong in New Orleans, but... You know, got to give credit to Tampa Bay. They did a good job. Congrats to Lovie Smith. Got his first win with the Bucs. The defense looked much better than it did in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And their running game also looked better than it did. So that really helped Jameis out. He's going to need Doug Martin to really help him out tremendously and substantially within that system. Because, I mean, again, he's a rookie. You don't want to put too much on his plate. You just want him to kind of, you know, manage the games to an extent. Don't make any mistakes. Try to make some big plays when you can, when they're open. And, you know, that's what he did. And he was able to beat Drew Brees. So, you know, kudos to him.
Yeah, they're just doing the thing. And then, you know, seeing something with seeing some of that with Drew Brees. Apparently could miss time with a shoulder injury.
You know the NFL is like, son of a bitch. First Tony Romo, now we missing Drew Brees. I'm like, we can't afford to have our elite quarterbacks getting hurt now.
No, they can't, man. Like, everybody getting knocked out. Come on. Y'all making it hard.
Exactly.
Let's see.
How about AP? Looking like AP again.
Man.
running on them them Detroit Lions, man.
He looked like Adrian Peterson again. I was like, okay, now you're looking like you're getting back into football.
Yeah, 29 carries, 134 yards. Oof. Getting it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
that's what you're supposed to do. You feed the back. I mean, we all knew, you know, when he got 10 carries the first game, it was like, you better feed that man the next game.
Yeah,
that's what they did.
Yeah, we knew he was going to, you know, struggle a little bit coming out after being off for so long. But, yeah, that was an Adrian Peterson night. Matthew Stafford, man.
Yeah, he's a little banged up.
Yeah. Another one. 32 of 53, 286, two touchdowns, an interception. Yeah, 38 yards total in rushing for Detroit.
Mm.
Yeah, Amir Abdullah back down, 6 carries for 9 yards.
Mm, back down to reality, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen. He's a rookie. Again, we got to temper expectations for these dudes. You can't expect them to just come in and ball right away. It just doesn't happen like that anymore like that, really, except for maybe on the defensive side.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, you have help. It's just, you know, he had his first good game. Yeah, you know, Minnesota had a very ugly outing game one.
Mm.
You know, with that loss to
Frisco.
Yeah, they got their butts whooped. So, mm-hmm. You know, had to come out and show some things.
Exactly.
So, yeah, shout out to Adrian Peterson on that. Niners.
Speaking of getting speaking of getting their butts kicked.
Steelers was like, yeah, let's return this after that ugly week one versus New England. The Niners in town. All right, let's take it out on them.
Yep. And that's what they did. I
18.
Mean, and Antonio Brown might be the best wide receiver in football.
Fucking 9 catches, 195 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, he is to me.
That's ridiculous, man. It's crazy. Of course, my wife was happy with that ass whooping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the 49ers came back down to reality. That is the 49ers I expect to see really throughout the season. I mean, seriously, not trying to put them down, not trying to crap on them, but, I mean, we all knew going into this season, missing that many veterans in the locker room, missing that many talented guys on both of your defensive line and offensive line and your linebacker position. You know, we knew it was going to, and your all-time leading running back, you knew it was going to be a transition. Yeah. It wasn't like we just expected the Niners to be like, oh, yeah, they competing for the division this year. No. We're expecting them to take a step back, and they got a new head coach. There's just a lot of change in Frisco right now. So, again, I'm not trying to crap on them, but that's really – I'm not expecting them to get blown out every game. But the way they play to an extent, that is what I expect to see throughout the season with the 49ers.
Kaepernick sacked 5 times.
Oof.
You know, Carlos Hyde back down to earth, 13 for 43 yards.
Yep.
Yep. Colin Kaepernick, 9 carries for 51, having to rush a lot.
Yep.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a nice back down to earth because they got spanked.
You got knocked the fuck out.
Carolina. Whooping on them Texans. Carolina's 2-0 now.
They pulled it out, luckily.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Cam Newton got to do way too much for that team. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, leading them 195 yards passing. Leading them in rushing with 76 yards with 10 carries. Like, I mean, granted, for fantasy, you love it. But, damn, bro, you about to get hurt.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I don't know how much more he can take. He's taking a beating.
Yeah, and that's for Houston. I mean, shit. Ryan Mallett, 58 passes. You don't want that.
Put Brian Hoyer back in.
Hey, after Seriously? One game, we just yanked the wind like what we saw.
I'm like, yeah, you like Ryan Mallett that much better, huh? I'd be putting Brian Hoyer back in that game so quick and make your head spin.
I mean, they need, and they, I know they want Arian Foster in quick because Chris Polk, your leading rusher, 14 for 38. Alfred Blue, 5 carries, 6 yards.
Damn.
He getting dropped.
Aaron, come back, because I got you in both my leagues. Or one of my leagues, I should say.
But, man, yeah, they back down. They back to struggling. St. Louis looked good, and then it's like, let's just go back to how we used to be.
Yeah. They came back down to earth.
Yeah, did not expect them to lose that game against Washington, 24-10.
I mean, but shout out, give kudos to Washington. They were running that ball, man.
Yeah, in total. Matt Jones. I don't know who Matt Jones is. 19 carries, 123, and 2 touchdowns.
Third round pick.
Yep. But yeah, 182 yards total rushing. Got it done.
That's for liking St. what
Louis.
I'm seeing.
Yeah, for St. Louis. And Trey Mason came back, only 7 for 26. Benjamin Cunningham had 1 carry.
I mean, like, at some point, they getting Todd Gurley out there.
Man, I mean, reading. This keeps saying like they just can't wait to put him out there.
I mean, he's a unique specimen. And I'm sure they just want to make sure he's 100% ready to grow before they just throw him out in the field.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And lastly, we got Miami and Jacksonville.
Go ahead, Jags. Go ahead.
Trying to start a little rivalry down in Florida.
Even though they screwed me over with Lamar Miller. Sorry. He got hurt too. Son of a bitch.
Oh, he got hurt too? Damn.
He tweaked his ankle.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, Ryan Tannehill, 30-44. 359 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Just not enough.
That's crazy. Against the Jags.
Yeah, man. What Blake Bortles do? 18-33, 273 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, hit Allen Robinson.
Man, I picked him up in one of my leagues like late this week. Beast. I was like, I need it. Let me just add him real quick. Yeah, and I ended up sitting him for a dude who getting my what the fuck. I'm going to say that for that. But I was like, 6 for 155 and 2 touchdowns. Damn.
Yep. He was a beast coming out of Penn State. He was just hurt last year.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't really know about him, but he's a beast, man.
Yeah, and they, Jags losing Denard Robinson, running back, out 7 weeks with a left knee injury.
Like, thank God he's just a backup. Whew.
TJ Yeldon, take as much as you want.
Yep.
We need you.
Carrying the load for real.
Yeah, man, but then, something else interesting came out of Miami. Always seems like something is popping in Miami that's not good.
Yep.
Dolphins coach Dan Feldman was denying reports that Ndamukong Suh, quote-unquote, was freelancing on defense. I was like, oh, shit, we're already in 2 weeks in.
First it was kicking the helmet off Alfred Morris, and now we got Ndamukong Suh doing whatever he wants on the defensive line. I mean, it came out yesterday that I guess Ndamukong Suh made a comment like, basically the defense got to figure out what they want to do.
And I guess he's like, until that, I'm going to do what I need to do.
Do whatever hell I want. Exactly. So I'm like, if that's the case, he's freelancing. He's causing more harm than good.
Yeah. I mean, the person who's going to pay for it is the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
They're going to be like, we paid this dude a gang of money.
Fix it.
Yep. It's on you. Mm-hmm. All right. So, that was week 2. Let's go look at these standings now. All right. So right now, the 2-0 teams, you got Cincinnati Bengals, Arizona Cardinals, Green Bay Packers, New England Patriots, Dallas Cowboys, Denver Broncos, Atlanta Falcons, New York Jets, and the Carolina Panthers. Any of these teams surprising you? Surprised that they are 2-0?
Honestly, the New York Jets have surprised me. I didn't think they'd come out the gate so hot. Ryan Fitzpatrick is, as most people would consider, is an average quarterback, but he works well with Chan Gailey. They did wonders together in Buffalo. He knows that system in and out like the back of his hand, and clearly it's working out for them. They added an additional weapon in Brandon Marshall, who's paid big dividends so far. Moving Eric Decker to the second receiver spot has paid big dividends to them so far. So they're really impressive in what they're doing. And shout out to Todd Bowles, who's a rookie head coach. He's got that defense playing lights out right now, for real.
No, I would think so too. I would say probably say the same thing. It's just surprising just how they're doing it is the Arizona Cardinals, just getting it done on a defensive end. Now that running game is starting to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, Ellington will be back. Chris Johnson looked all right. David Johnson looks very explosive.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're going to have a resurgent Larry Fitzgerald, they've been knocking on the door.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've had double-digit wins the last two seasons.
I believe so.
They've really tried to climb up. I think injuries just kind of hampering them. But if they can stay healthy, be careful, man, because they may take over and be the team to beat in that division.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Arians is a good head coach.
Yeah, he seems to be one of them guys. He is like Bill Belichick and feels like he will get the most out of his guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the rest, Green Bay, of course, New England, yes. Denver, I would say, yeah. Atlanta looks very improved.
Yep.
Cincinnati has the talent.
Maybe.
No, they've had the talent. Can they keep it up? I don't know. And the Falcons and the Panthers.
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to keep it up, though. I mean, you got Luke Kuechly hurt. Star Latui's been hurt.
Yeah.
You know, without Kelvin Benjamin, I don't know how much they can keep leaning on Cam Newton like this to carry the load so much.
Oh, it's going to be tough. And we know that game, when they start playing, Atlanta's going to be major.
Yep.
You know, because if you got, you know, Tampa Bay is slowly trying to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, with Drew Brees out, you know, that makes it tough on them. You know, once again, we'll have to check the schedule. But, yeah, when they play each other, that's going to be major.
Yep.
And then looking at these 0-2 teams, you got the Detroit Lions, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, Colts, Chicago Bears, Seattle Seahawks, Houston Texans, Baltimore Ravens, and New Orleans Saints. So it's probably the obvious, but which team are you shocked is at 0-2?
I kind of got to go with a tie between Seattle and Indianapolis. I mean, these are two teams that most people would have assumed we'd probably meeting in the Super Bowl, either Seattle or Green Bay meeting in the Super Bowl. So, you know, to see both of them start off 0-2 and really not look all that impressive in either game.
Yeah.
It's really a surprise. So, you know, something's got to be done with both teams. Andrew Luck is – you know, they got to figure out some way to spark that offense to get on the same page. And with Seattle, they got to figure a way to lock down guys on defense and you know, start getting beast mode running again.
Yeah, they got to. I mean, yeah, it is shocking with Seattle down here. I wouldn't have expected that at all. I mean, if you didn't see them losing to St. Louis that first game.
Nope.
They just haven't been in sync, you know, but we feel with the team they have, they should be able to get some things done, but – you know, hey, if I'm Cam Chancellor, I guess it's working.
Yep. He may be forcing their hand at this point.
Yeah, and then the Colts, they just don't look in sync at all. Nope. I don't know if it's the pressure because they got to the AFC Championship that now teams are like, well, you just right there.
Yep.
You know, another season, you'll be knocking on the door. But they just shows you that they're still young and got some work to do.
Yep.
Out of the other teams – not surprised with the Giants.
I would say Baltimore, only because they've never been 0-2 under John Harbaugh before.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect them to be 0-2 either. It's just like, wow.
Especially going up against the Raiders, you assume they would have won that game.
Yeah, and I wouldn't think that. It's shocking that this is the first time they've been 0-2 under John Harbaugh.
Yep.
They just, injury bug has just been killing them, and they've just been slowly
deteriorated.
The roster's getting depleted. Guys leaving. Guys getting hurt. Guys retiring.
Yep.
You know, the Eagles not looking good for Chip Kelly. Nope. He's in a bad 0-2. It's like 0-2. Yep. And like, you better fix it quick.
Yes, sir.
Bears, yeah.
That's a work in progress.
Yeah, the Texans don't Arian Foster, yeah.
Yeah.
The Saints, I mean, look, we saw that division last year. But, I didn't expect an 0-2 from them really this season.
But on the flip side, they're missing Jimmy Graham. I mean, they strengthened their O-line, but now you're missing your your red zone target, a guy that Drew Brees could really just throw the ball to up in the air and he would just jump and go get it. So you miss that factor, and guys don't have to really zone in on any specific guy anymore right now.
No, they're not running the ball like they could. I mean, I know Spiller's just got back. He had, you know, quiet kind of game, but he'll get back in the mix, and, you know, maybe that'll start sparking some things for him.
Exactly.
Some quick injury news from what besides what's been brought out. Sean Jackson is out 3 to 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. Mm. Chargers right guard G.J. Fluker out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain.
Oof.
You mentioned the Packers. Eddie Lacy had some hamstring issues. He was out. So did Devontae Adams. And their defensive end, Josh Boyd, is on season-ending IR.
Damn.
Sucks. I know. Texans offensive lineman Jeff Adams out for the season for the patellar tendon.
Mm.
It just keeps going. And yep. Then I have Falcons running back Tevin Coleman suffered a fractured rib, so don't know how long he'll be out.
Add Devontae Freeman right now.
Yep, you know folks is like grabbing him.
And I fucked up and dropped him after week one.
I mean, I did that with David Johnson in one leg. I was like, I need some room. What the who? He ain't going to play. Oh, Andre Ellington gets hurt week one. How lovely.
Right. Like, great.
See, man, let's go to this. Going looking towards week three.
Yes, sir.
You know, some of these are kind of make or break. You got Washington, New York as the Thursday night game.
At the New York what, Giants?
Yep, at the Giants.
It's the fight for last place. Who's going to be last in the division? Is it going to be New York? Is it going to be Washington? At the rate it's going, I'm banking on the Giants.
Yeah, if I'm the Giants, you know, short week, you are at home. Yeah, you can't lose.
They have to. This is a – I really don't like to use the word must win this early in the season, but this is a must win for the Giants, especially considering the fact that they've already lost one division game. They can't afford to lose another one.
Yeah. They don't want to keep – you down 0-3. You're like, shit.
Yep. And basically down 0-4 in a sense because you down two division game.
Yep. Let's see. That Atlanta at Dallas would have been good.
I mean, you expect Atlanta to win that game, but at the same time, you know, you give Brandon Weeden a shot. I mean, look, you know, coming into the league, this guy had an arm. A lot of people raved about his arm talent and how accurate he was. And let's keep in mind that Cleveland is similar to how the Clippers used to be. You just go there and you die. So he's now out of there. He's with the quarterback who, again, a lot of people consider top 10 in the league. You know, so he's been learning. He's been able to soak it in. He probably understands the offense a lot more now. So, I mean, and as we saw yesterday, he zipped that pass to Terrence Williams. So clearly he has a grasp of the offense. And who knows? They might be okay.
Yeah, they could be.
They might be okay.
Could be. I see your squad's playing a Sunday night, playing at Detroit.
Yeah, another road game for it. I mean, shoot, I'm just like, look, Matt Stafford is hurt in his rib area. I'm like, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, light him up. I'm like, even though I got Golden Tate, win the game. I'm like, just get off to a 28-zip lead, so all he got to do is throw. He can just throw to Golden Tate all day.
Yeah, and I got Calvin Johnson. It's like, fuck, I know Talib going to be on him.
The lead's going to be on him. Chris Harris is going to be on Golden Tate. So, honestly, it's going to be tough for Matt Stafford to throw on those guys. So, it's good. Denver should win that game. Yeah. They should win that game.
Monday night game is actually kind of interesting. The Kansas City at Green Bay. Mm. You know, Kansas City came off that ugly loss. We'll see if it's any carryover. But, hey, man, that defense is sick. You know, it's another challenge for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we know you can't fully stop Aaron Rodgers, but you know, Kansas City has a solid defense to go against that.
Yeah, and I mean, Kansas City's got a solid D, but they do have a rookie cornerback. I know Marcus Peters has looked pretty good his first couple games, but now you're going up against Aaron Rodgers, who I believe is probably going to pick on the kid.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
Marcus Peters better get himself ready to be thrown at a lot.
Yeah, and you got Cincinnati at Baltimore. It should be interesting. Always some division against a lot of division games. Baltimore, I would not be surprised if they pulled this one out.
I wouldn't either. They always seem to play their division tough, but they're going to need to bring the energy on, especially on defense. Because, again, they looked lifeless without Terrell Suggs against Oakland. They look like they just didn't have any fight in them on that defense. So they're going to have to bring that in. I know the crowds are going to be fired up and into it. So they need to win that game.
Yeah. Buffalo at Miami is interesting.
I expect Buffalo to win.
Yeah, most of the games are just, all right, they feel a little lopsided. Philly at the Jets, good luck, Eagles.
Yeah, seriously. And you at New York, too? Oh, my God. Yeah.
And you can't run the ball.
Yeah.
Well, like, if you struggling to run the ball, you probably ain't running it week three neither.
Nope.
Like, Oakland at Cleveland. Johnny Manziel.
Shout out to Johnny Baylor.
Johnny Manziel, Derek Carr.
If y'all can go, if Raiders win, go up 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
They could technically be second in the division.
Yeah.
If the cards fall right. I mean, hey, look out.
Yeah, Pittsburgh got St. Louis. Le'Veon Bell coming back.
Oh, I expect Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown to go nuts.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to D'Angelo Williams for holding the fort down.
Absolutely. Very doing impressive. Damn good job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but other games, you know, other games are all right. Some division just, Colts at Tennessee, Jacksonville at New England.
Lost for Jacksonville, sorry.
Yeah, New Orleans at Carolina.
Yeah.
Man, Tampa Bay at Houston.
Ugh, Tampa Bay should win that game.
San Diego at Minnesota.
That might be an interesting game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Should be. San Diego needs to show some life.
Yeah.
Frisco at Arizona.
Oh, good luck, San Francisco.
Yeah, I think Arizona, they rolling. Chicago at Seattle. That looks like Chicago's going to get picked on.
Well, Seattle will be getting their first win of the season.
Yeah, they're coming off 0-2.
And they get Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, home, pissed off.
Marshawn Lynch might run for 150 yards.
Yeah, he's going to kill, man. Oh, that's funny. But, yeah, man, the NFL still pushes on.
Yes, sir.
See how week three goes. Hey, man, your bye week is coming up. Start paying attention. Starting next week, week four.
Exactly.
Got to start looking ahead. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Look at college football week three, a little NBA talk, and then we'll get into some of these awards. Y'all listening to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. Holla! All right, y'all, we're back. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
What's happening?
So if y'all want to holler at us, y'all want to talk sports with us, some football, let us know how you feeling about your squads through the 2 weeks. Are you panicking? Your team 0-2 and you panicking? Your team up 2? Are they 2-0 and you feeling good, feeling great? You know, thinking your team unbeatable and all that? Hit us up. Let's talk via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. On Twitter, @brotherslayman. On the hotline, 323-455-4219. Or you can reach us at blackisonline.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know what your thoughts are. Philly fans, I would love for y'all to hit me up and just let me know y'all thoughts on what the season is looking like so far. You didn't get a chance to see that that video about that Philly fan I told you about, did you?
Nah, I didn't yet.
Oh, my gosh. It is hilarious. I mean, he lost his mind. Woo. So, I know Philly fans are passionate. It's just 0-2. You still got 14 more games left. So, you know, have some little faith.
Yeah, on the college football, man, some big losses.
That's an understatement. Three.
I mean, well, depends how you ask. It depends. But, you know, over here, Stanford coming into the Coliseum, taking out SC 41-31.
Oof.
You know, all week it was, oh, it's a rival game. They rivals and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, SC was number 6 at the time. Like, wow. Because Stanford got upset that first week.
Yes, Northwestern. Yep.
This one, shut them up.
Yep. I mean, SC looked really bad on defense. And, of course, you know what happened today. All they talked about was Sark. He need to go. Like, oh, damn, he can't win. He can't lose one game, can he?
Yeah.
Well, he's a drunk. Like, oh, shit.
That was when you don't win, when you got a big school that got money and boosters.
And you fuck up.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we having doubts.
Yep.
I have doubts.
It's coming on. But look, I mean, this is what happened. This is part of the reason why people like college football.
Yep.
You can get upset as a number 15 Ole Miss pulled an upset on number 2 Alabama.
That game was awesome. That game was fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it, man, but I heard about it, and the fools was like, this game.
That game was crazy, man. I mean, but, you know, Alabama, they had opportunities to close it out on the very last drive, but their receivers were just dropping passes, man. I mean, you got to be able to come down with those big catches on the last drive that you're trying to make. And their quarterback, is it Coker or Cocker or something like that? He was taking some blows. Mm. I mean, he was getting lit up. So, I mean, you know, kudos for him for staying in the game, because there was one moment he took a huge shot and went to the sideline real quick holding his gun. And you're just like, damn. But, I mean, he stood in there, toughened it out, and almost got them to a win, but they couldn't pull it out over Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss was loving it. They got a feisty defense, boy. I tell you.
Nah, man, they came to play, man. This is, and, you know, you like seeing upsets just to shake some things up.
Exactly.
Number 10, UCLA survives, beat number 19, BYU, 24-23.
Barely.
Yeah.
Man, looking at the score, and you're like, oh, damn, UCLA about to lose this game.
Yeah, but you know what happens. Like, y'all lost. You won, but it wasn't pretty. Knocking you down.
So, I mean, but, again, BYU has been such on such a roll. I'm not sure how much they'll ding UCLA for that win, but, you know, wasn't a great showing. But, again, you'll take that W any way you can get it. It still keeps their playoff chances alive.
Yeah, other big matchups, number 13 LSU be number 18 Auburn, 45-21. With this kid, Leonard Fournette from LSU, 19 carries, 228 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Damn.
Beasting. I mean, absolute beast. I mean, that kid is just a sophomore, and I mean, he's unbelievable, especially considering the fact that LSU has no passing game whatsoever to speak of. I think their quarterback threw for like 76 yards or something ridiculous. But I mean, they rocked them. So
yeah, and then the other little big matchup: number 8 Notre Dame beat number 14 Georgia Tech, 30-22. So Notre Dame keep on trucking.
Yeah, I mean, even with the injuries they're compiling, Notre Dame just keeps on finding a way to win, finding a way to win these big games. So, no, kudos to them and Brian Kelly, the head coach.
And man, big question I've heard been going about college football is with number one Ohio State. Seems like Urban Meyer is not sure who he want to start, either Cardale Jones or JT Barrett.
Well, you saw Cardale Jones tweeted out second string quarterback of Ohio State on his bio on Twitter. He changed it to like second string quarterback, and it's like, oh god, nigga, are you throwing a temper tantrum? Like, you got to get out of here with that nonsense. So, I mean, I'm sure he's clearly frustrated because he hasn't played as well as he had hoped. Yeah. I know everybody was like, oh, he should have went to the draft last year. I'm like, wow, so he can be another Matt Leinart.
Yeah, it's hard because, I mean, you've got a lot of coaches would like to have this problem. You basically got three guys, JT Barrett, Cardale, and Braxton Miller on your squad. You know, JT Barrett got most of the opportunities in his last game. I mean, it's hard because you want to say, dude, just pick one and roll with it.
And in all honesty, with my honest opinion, he needs to roll with JT Barrett. I'm like, that's the guy who basically, I mean, you can say, yes, Cardale Jones won you the championship. JT Barrett's the one who even got you an opportunity to get there.
Yeah, and based by the way he's playing, seem like you believe in him a little more. Is Cardale Jones starting?
Cardale Jones has been starting, but the hard thing is like he keeps bringing them both in. There's no way to really get a rhythm like that as a quarterback. You got to have constant repetition. You can't just flip-flop quarterbacks all the freaking time. You got to stick with one guy.
Yeah, he really just kind of like ride with him. If he's playing poorly, then you can yank him. But, you know, I know with these high teams and it's not like, well, we can take a loss. You lose, you're like, well, now we way back.
Well, you can't do this Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett shit. I mean, you got to pick somebody.
No, you got to. You can't do this dance and like, look, you have a great problem. And most people would love. You know, but you better pick one. I mean, granted, like we know your schedule is very easy.
You ain't really clearly playing nobody. Not, they almost lost to Northern Illinois. So, I mean.
But yeah, looking at the AP poll for top 10, you got Ohio State at number one, starting to lose.
Steel?
Yeah, because they won, but, you know, they're starting to lose a little of them unanimous votes now. Number two is Michigan State.
Okay, they moved up. Good deal.
Number three, Ole Miss.
Good deal. They moved up.
They got them tied. I don't know how they do that, I guess, for points with TCU. Is fourth. Number five is Baylor. Number six, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Number seven, Georgia.
All right.
Number eight, LSU, who actually has the first place vote.
Nice.
Number nine, UCLA and Florida State rounding out the top 10.
Nice. It's going to be a tough battle to see who's going to that playoff, man.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss jumped the hell up.
Yeah, they did.
12 spots, and Alabama fell out of the top 10.
So did LSU. Yeah. They moved all the way up to the top 10. That was nice.
That's how college football looking so far.
Good deal.
Quick news with the NBA. T-Wolves and Anthony Bennett are progressing on a buyout. It just has not worked for that dude. I guess he's not getting the run that he feels like he should get.
I mean, he'll get a look somewhere else, but he's going to go down as a bust.
Yeah, and
part of that is not his fault, which is fucked up. But it's not his fault.
Yeah, Cleveland clearly just didn't know how to pick folk, number one. The injuries really bothered him.
And plus, it wasn't a very strong draft. You didn't really have a consensus number one guy, so
no.
Somebody has to go first.
He felt like a throw-in at this point. Yeah. They were just like, look, we'll take Andrew Wiggins. Kevin Love don't want to be here. We need bodies. Hey, just give us Anthony Bennett. We'll take him too.
But, I mean, I will give him this. There was a reason he was in the conversation as the number one pick.
Yeah.
So clearly he has some form of talent. He's still only like 23 years old. You know, just he needs to go to a team where he can he can maybe get some time, you know, maybe look to go to like a Philadelphia or maybe not necessarily a great team where he can possibly get some run.
Yeah. Somewhere he can at least get some development or something.
Yeah. Or he can go the other route and go to a good team and ride the pine and develop your game over time.
Yep. Warriors offered Harrison Barnes a 4-year, $64 million extension, and he said, no, thank you.
These dudes are really starting to get on my nerves returning down these extensions. Because some of them are just like, dude, that's your worth. Like, what? How much more money do you want, Harrison Barnes? What do you want, 4 years, 80? I mean, seriously. I mean, they're offering you 4 years, what, $64 million?
Yep.
Let me do the math real quick. That is what, $16 million a freaking year? How much more do you want?
These guys getting greedy. It seems like now with this cap, 15, 16 is like that okay amount. But Negro's going to want more than that.
That's ridiculous. Like, that's not what you're worth. And secondly, you're not even – you're like the sixth man.
Technically, I think Iguodala is, but yeah, no, I feel you. Like,
it's not like you're the star of the team. Like, this, it's really getting on my nerves with some of these dudes. You know, it's one thing if you're an all-star and you're a huge piece of what they do as far as, you know, winning titles, getting in the playoff runs, and all that stuff. I know Harrison Barnes means a lot to the Golden State Warriors team. I know he does a lot for that team, but I mean. To I don't know, man. It really bugs me, these dudes who just think they are just, I'm a star, even though you ain't really a star on your team. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, this is a lot of money for Harrison Barnes. I can't front. As a talent, he can probably get this if he was allowed to do a little more.
Yeah.
But still, I'm just like, you're paying $16 million for a guy who is, is he your third option scoring?
He might be their fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got Klay Thompson. He might be their fourth behind Draymond Green, honestly.
Yeah, he might be.
And if you want to get technical, he may be their fifth behind Iguodala.
Yeah, and he and Iguodala kind of shared that time.
So, I mean, you got to look at things in the bigger picture. Plus, I'm like, dude, they're paying Iguodala. They just paid Draymond Green. They're playing Klay Thompson. They're going to have to pay Steph Curry to max at some point. They're paying Andrew Bogut. I mean, how much more money do you think this team can just dish out to you? I mean, teams still is just like, y'all do realize there is a luxury tax, right?
This is one of those where it feels like you won, you got your ring, now it's like, let me get my check. Because, look, it's not, if you feel like you're worth more, that's fine. Maybe you want to not sign the extension because you think next season you'll get more money. And you might get a bump too where they give you 17, 18. But he's going to price himself out.
And all I'm going to say is, and I'm not wishing this on anybody, knock on wood, Harrison Barnes, you don't get hurt throughout the season.
Yeah.
Because that's the one risk with these dudes who are turning out all this money. It's like, well, you know, what if you get hurt? It's one thing if the team ain't offering you nothing. But if a team's offering you a fair deal, giving you $16 million a year, and you're just like, nah, I don't want it, you better pray to God your butt is healthy throughout the whole season. Because the minute you get hurt, that's when that money starts fading away.
Yeah, because they'll probably just give you that, in a sense, something like that same contract for next year.
Yep.
I'm like, okay. But, you know, people want to do the Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler route. Just like, nah, I'm going to prove it and show I'm worth more than that. Like, all right.
Well, Harrison Barnes, you ain't proving it over Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And probably not Draymond Green either. So you're going to have to find a way to score all them buckets.
Yeah, he showed he's been solid in the playoffs.
Solid ain't worth 20 mil.
No, it ain't. I'm with you on that. And Spain beat Lithuania in the Eurobasket League. So Spain gets an automatic bid for the Olympics. Pau Gasol got MVP for the tournament.
Damn right. He was looking good. I was like, oh, okay. If that's the Pau we getting for the season, let's go.
All right, y'all. It's getting laid up in this joint. Let's get into these awards.
Yes, sir.
First off, start off with the noise.
Noise.
All right, what you got?
All right, so I got a few of them. First off, I want to give a shout-out to, we spoke on them earlier, the kid Leonard Fournette from LSU. Ran for 228, three touchdowns. The reason I'm giving him a Norris Award is because a player from Auburn made a slick comment basically saying he wouldn't be too hard to take down in the game. And, of course, when you start chirping about dudes, they hear it, they use it as motivation, and clearly that kid uses his motivation. Three touchdowns worth of motivation and an ass whooping. So, I mean, it would behoove you to keep your mouth shut the next time if you're talking about a kid who a lot of people say could play in the NFL right now, and he's a sophomore. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, shout out to that kid. Next Norris Award, I want to give it to Luke Ridenour, who decided to take it upon himself to sit out the season. Apparently, I read in an article that he just decided to sit out this year. I guess he was tired of getting traded consistently and just being used as a trade chip to go to other teams. So I can understand, you know, you look at it as a form of somewhat of disrespect. It's like, dude, I can still play. Because, I mean, in all honesty, Luke Ridenour isn't a household name, but he's been a solid player throughout most of his career. So I'm like, you know, if I'm Luke Ridenour, you know, I feel I can still contribute to an extent. And if nobody wants to use me like that, I'm not about to be a trade chip so you can just move my family around. You know what I'm saying? So not mad at the kid at all. I just want to give him a Norris Award for standing his ground and saying, you know, fuck it. I want to play or I'm just not going to play. So shout out to him. And then the last Norris Award, I wanted to give a shout out to family, true family. This is blood family. Just doing big things. Got some big things going. In the sports-related world, we got our cousin Jonathan Abrams, who writes for Grantland, is coming out with a book. And I talked to him today. He said it's coming out March 15th next year. And, I mean, hey, it's supposed to be about a lot of the high school players who went straight from high school to the NBA. I think he goes back to all the way to Moses Malone. I think he said all the way up to Amir Johnson. So he covers all those years in between of basically what all these kids did and the work they did to go from high school to make that jump. So wanted to give him a shout out. And so I also wanted to shout out our other cousin, Lauren Mack, who's doing big things on Channel 7, ABC now on, was it the Fab Life show with Tyra Banks?
Yeah. You know,
wanted to give her a shout out, you know, give her some love. It's really a show for women, you know, so to speak. So for all you dudes out there with your chicks, tell your chicks to check out the show. You know, want to support our cousin, give them some love, support our family, and, you know, just shout out to them doing big things.
Yeah, man, no doubt. Yeah, that show, I remember she was putting it on. I was like, oh, shit, you on with Tyra Banks?
Yep, yeah. So, you know,
helping people get their homes and stuff together.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
I told her I would probably try to see if I could just, you know, go to the show at some point, you know, just to support her. I know it's a show for females, but damn it, I'm going to support my family, you feel me?
Right. I think this is a show where they kind of do, you know, little makeovers and whatnot.
Yep.
I believe so. But no, that's a good look.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, for me, you know, God, these awards were hard this week. But being that if it's NFL, I'm probably going to start giving out certain awards for, you know, play during the week. So I'm giving my Norris Award to two guys. One for this week, I'm fucking Tom Brady. He said 38 of 59, 466 yards, three touchdowns, playing against the nemesis with Rex Ryan, that vaunted defense. What was they going to do? And he was just like, they ain't doing goddamn thing. But taking that L. Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'm gonna give. I got other noises going out to Johnny Manziel because for this last game and a half, dude has really stepped up his game. I've been impressed. I don't love everything, but I love how he seems to be handling himself a lot better from his rookie season. You know, we always make fun of guys, and we're not sure and whatnot. You know, I don't know this dude personally. I don't really care. But, you know, I'm glad that he seems to be maturing and, you know, hopefully he can keep it going. I don't know if he will, but, you know, for his sake and with all that hype surrounding him, I hope he, you know, at least can play a little bit and finish, you know, keep that momentum going.
He's acting like a professional, which is what he needs to do.
Yeah. All right. Now let's get into the what the fuck.
What?
For sure.
What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No. 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 Fuck that.
All right. For me, I got two. My first one is going out to motherfucking fantasy dude. Again, Mike Evans, you know, real hyped up. All right. Oh, he's back. All right. I'm going to play him. He going to get some catches. He ain't do shit. Zero catches. A big, fat donut.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, I saw that. And I was like, wait, what? He did what? Oh, and then well, who's on my bench? Allen Robinson.
Man, this is some bullshit.
God damn it. Like, for real.
I'm frustrated myself.
So, yeah, I'm hoping he has a bounce back. I'm like, oh, dude, like, it's just blank. I was like, wait a minute, did he play? He was in, okay. Come on, help me out.
Yep.
And the other one is going to Aaron Rodgers on his win with the Seahawks. I think God was a Packers fan tonight. Like, okay.
Complete shot at Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Cow.
You know, I was like, yeah, I like, look, I don't losing in the NFC Championship like that. You don't get over stuff like that. I get it. You know, and him saying, well, you know, even though I had all them turnovers, maybe, you know, God was on my side. You know, Aaron Rodgers being, you know, somewhat of the kind of asshole that he is.
He's a jerk. Just call it as it is.
Yeah.
He's a jerk.
And was just like, oh, I'm going to just take a shot. Like, damn, like, okay, you know, and I heard on another, what was it, His and Hers, and they were like, oh, if this was another religion, he wouldn't have said that. I was like, yeah, probably not, because it would have been some backlash, but he lives in the country where Christianity is a religion. So, you know, when there's always an issue when, it's like, a player flexes his religious beliefs. You know, but I will say though, I do not like it when it's like, oh well, you feel like God wanted us to win tonight. I'm like, yeah, word. Yeah,
the only thing I didn't really appreciate about Aaron Rodgers taking that shot at Russell Wilson is because I felt Russell Wilson was very sincere in what he said. It wasn't like he said God wanted me to win or God was a Seahawks fan tonight. He said, you know, I believe God was on my side. You know, to give me the strength to do what we needed to do. And truly believed it. I mean, as far as Aaron Rodgers, he's just taking a cold shot at old dude. And it's like, I mean, you're messing. I mean, like, come on, man. I mean, look, I understand you don't like to mix religion and football at times. But, you know, it was an unnecessary shot, especially when Russell Wilson ain't never said anything about you. Has never, you know, has been always been respectful and all that. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. He's a dick.
Yeah, what do you say? Full thing. And then getting help from God. I think God was a Packers fan tonight, so he was taking care of us. Like, all right.
Yeah. And then, I mean, personally, and, you know, this goes to Russell Wilson, too. I really don't like when dudes bring up God and winning games, because I'm like, nigga, God, no offense, but God has no bearing on your winning or losing a game. I mean, I know we're all praying to the same God, and if both teams are praying to the God, what do you think God's going to do? He's not going to pick a team. He's going to let y'all fight it out for yourselves. Y'all figure it out.
Yeah, he may, you know, like you say, give y'all the strength to perform your job.
Exactly.
You know, but it's on you.
It's on you to perform and do what you got to do. He has no bearing on the outcomes of the games, I believe.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, he Rodgers, you know, said something to that extent, like saying I don't think he really is involved in the games like that, you know. But yeah, I'm just like, you want to mention it, I don't care, you know. Yeah. People have funny thing, they just want the players to just play, don't say nothing.
Exactly.
But then if they did that, then you'd be like, well, we wouldn't have nothing to talk about because they're not giving us anything to talk about.
Exactly.
They're not saying something stupid or something that we can be like, oh, they said what, all right, let's flip it.
Yep.
Well, yeah, all right, that's it for me.
All right, so for me, I got a couple. The first one, I'm just giving to this whole Tristan Thompson contract situation. I saw another article on that today. I am so sick and tired of that damn contract. Like, they're still $14 million apart. I'm like, so you're not telling me anything new?
Nope.
So that he still wants the $94 million, which he don't need to get and probably ain't going to get. They offering the man $80 million. I'm like, just take the money and run, man. Like, what is the problem? I know you think you, this is the same situation like Harrison Barnes. You truly think you are worth $20 million. You really are not worth $20 million. Like, I don't know what planet you think you on where anybody told you you worth $20 million. Tristan Thompson is what? The 20th best power forward in the league?
Yeah, maybe. There's a lot of good power forwards out there.
Go through so many bigs. I mean, and let's not just get into the generalization of bigs. If it got into just bigs, you talking about centers and power forwards, he'd probably be like 40th on that list. Like, it's really laughable to me that he's sitting here demanding max dollars when I'm like, really? You ain't even close to being the best player at your position in the league. You can't crack an all-star game, and yet you want all-star money. That, it just kills me with some of these guys. So I understand you want the security. 5 years, 80 is plenty of security. I mean, just like Spirit said, this fool's going on the route of fucking Latrell Sprewell. I can't feed my kids with $80 million. Like, what?
Yeah, the whole my peers is making more, and we're like, okay, but maybe their teams are dumb enough to give them that much money.
And shout out to Spirit. Dude, your peers are the dudes as good as you and do what you do. And again, that is comparable to your peers.
Yeah, it's always that catch because you're like, I want to make money, but I'm sure you want your teammates to make money. And the team is like, we can't afford all y'all.
Exactly.
And, you know, y'all like, I don't care. It ain't my problem. I'm like, okay, well, get out. We ain't paying you.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens, you better enjoy your time in Cleveland because I don't know how long it's going to be.
Exactly. And then the last what the fuck, I'm just giving it to the Philadelphia Eagles as a whole. I mean, that output that they did yesterday in that game against the Cowboys was one of the most embarrassing performances I have ever seen in a football game. And that includes all teams. I'm talking Raiders to the Browns. It includes everybody. That was a pathetic performance. I mean, DeMarco Murray was literally getting tackled for negative yard after negative yard on all of his freaking carries. I mean, he was so frustrated, he was going after the kicker. So, I mean, he's yelling at the sideline. Chip Kelly has really fucked this whole team up. And, I mean, it's really messed up that Philadelphia fans have to go through this. I mean, get rid of DeSean Jackson. You get rid of LeSean McCoy. You get rid of Jeremy Macklin. You get rid of Evan Mathis. You get rid of Nick Foles. You got rid of like one half, not even one half of your offense, basically. You only got 11 dudes on offense, and you got rid of five of them. Both your receivers, your starting quarterback, your starting running back, and one of your offensive linemen. What the fuck is wrong with you? And you're just bringing in these guys, and it's like, well, I can fit them into my system. Clearly you can't, because clearly it ain't working. I mean, they look slow on offense. You got a guy in DeMarco Murray who's built more for power. I mean, even LeSean McCoy was a guy who more so out of the spread offense. You need a guy who can make guys miss. That was LeSean McCoy's thing. He can make dudes miss. I'm like, DeMarco Murray's more of a power kind of guy. He likes to go in between the tackles and run through. He don't like to go around the side and get to the edges. That's not his game. He's not that fast.
No, isn't that why you got Ryan Matthews?
Exactly. Darren Sproles. And I mean, you still starting freaking Riley Cooper. That is the biggest head scratcher in the league. Riley Cooper is the worst starting wide receiver in the league, period. And it's not even close. He's the worst starting wide receiver in the league because he can block good. That's the stupidest excuse I've ever heard to start a wide receiver. And I mean, defensively, you know, you traded LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso, and now it looks like Kiko Alonso is hurt again, and it might be out for the whole season. You spent $60 million on Byron Maxwell, who looks like ass. I mean, the whole team, I mean, Chip Kelly
is on thin ice right now. And I know it's been a couple years, but this is the first year he's actually been able to buy groceries himself. And it's really looking shitty. I mean, this is comparable to fucking Phil Jackson status in the NBA.
Oh.
He is looking really bad at his job right now. He needs to focus specifically on coaching. Let the GMs do what they do and give that power up. Because at this rate, Philly fans ain't going to let this motherfucker stay in power next year if they just keep losing. This is like, get rid of him. He needs to go.
Oh, yeah. And I seen a shot of the owner in the press box during that game. He looked like, what the hell is going on? And he looked like all Philly fans, all y'all feeling the same thing.
What the fuck are we doing out here? I asked you, what in the fuck are we doing here?
And it does not help that Andy Reid is having success in Kansas City. That doesn't help the cause.
Nope. With a quarterback who can't complete touchdown passes to his wide receivers.
And he stole Jeremy Maclin from you. And he stole Jeremy Maclin from you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. So that's all I got.
Nah, man, that was good. You know, we just want to say thank y'all for tuning in to the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. Brought to you by the Black Is Network. It is late in a mug over here.
We're getting towards 12 o'clock.
Yeah, man. We wanted to get this show done for y'all. It's week two, man. We got through all the games, trying to knock it out the box for y'all. Hey, man, this is fun. We love it. We hope y'all love it too. Let us know, man. We are on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're on SoundCloud. Hit us up. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave us any review rating. Let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us and the Black Is Break. Which is our roundtable discussion show. We cover everything from current events, television, relationships, all that good stuff. All of that can be found on blackisonline.com. If you want to reach out to us directly, talk some football or any of that good stuff with Jonathan or myself, you can follow us on Twitter, @BrothersLayman. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. Any of the messages or emails, we will read them on the show.
Yeah, definitely want to thank all y'all out there. Definitely want to give a shout out to the longtime listeners, the people who've been hanging out with us since day one. Definitely want to show y'all some love, and definitely want to throw out some love to the first time listeners who just happened to stumble upon us and, you know, just checking us out to see who we brought up in here in the happy hour. And also want to give a shout out to those in between who maybe have caught us in the middle. You know, maybe a little bit later than the first episode, but hey, definitely appreciate you nonetheless, just taking the time out of your day to, you know, hear our shows. And if you enjoy them, if you got some feedback for us, shoot it to us. Critiques are welcome. We don't care. We don't take anything personally. It's all love up in here in the family. So definitely want to give y'all some love. If you enjoyed the show, go ahead and tell your loved ones, tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews, tell your dogs, cats, chickens, ducks, roosters. See who we got today. Oh, snap. Let me see. I see the iguana light. So go ahead and tell your iguanas. Tell your salamanders. Tell your
tell your geckos.
There you go. Tell your geckos. Tell your armadillos. No, that's not lizards. Tell your see, it's late as hell. Tell your crocs. Tell your alligators. Tell your I don't know, shit. Tell your dinosaurs. Tell everybody about the Brothers Lame Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Woke up quick at about noon. Bitch crowd gotta be in North Memphis soon. Woo! I live with my shit, nigga. Hey! Boys in the hood is always hard. North Memphis come around, you gon' get robbed. What the first young nigga with a 50-pack heart? Service judges running back and forth in cars. Yeah. Niggas playing games and they gon' get shot. Bang. Tell L.A. Reid when my new shit drop.
I am.
If I don't go platinum, then I'm calling my plug.
Hello.
Cause I don't like rapping, rather be selling drugs.
Work.
Free Bobby's Burner and the GS now.
My nigga.
I feel like it's my job to get these street niggas sang. I feel like it's my job to tell these niggas the facts.
True.
$15-20 million, no plaques.
Woo.
Cruising down the street in my new Lambo. Bad bitch, big pistol, that's my M.O.
Got it.
If you run up on this car, I'll see you to God.
Truth feel, none of these rappers are hard. Now everybody gangster when they come to your city. Yeah. I would call a nigga, hold them down in your city. I'm always with the gangsters when I come in your city. Say you run the town, but you never in the city. I don't give a fuck when it come to my city. You will get the king, I'ma give you the business. Prior to the side, boy, I'm still on the mission. Hanging out the window, that's how I hit it. Rappers in the game is fake as hell. I done seen niggas lie, make up stories to sell. I done seen real niggas stay real and fail. Tell their story through music and end up in jail. I ain't sad to no label, I'm sad to myself. So if my album come out late, I'm fanning myself. No money on your head, I down you myself. Why clown a nigga when he clowning himself? Street list easy and in WA. Easy. Old school Chevy bumping beats by Dre. CMG the label, we were built off, yeah. Work. On that Ice Cube, today was a good day. Yeah. Boys in the hood are always hard. Come with that high price, shit gon' get rough. Know nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, cause I ain't said shit. On a hustle. Yeah, yeah. On a hustle. Yeah, yeah. On a hustle, nigga. Yeah, yeah. RIP to Easy. RIP to Easy.